Dear brothers and sisters, last week we looked at the third plague, dust turning into gnats, which brought pain and suffering. It's when seemingly insignificant matters that lie dormant can suddenly escalate into major issues that causes distress and torment. These small problems can grow to affect you and your family. The plague of gnats come upon those who merely have the appearance of evil, meaning that even if something seems trivial, you should not dismiss it as coincidence. It's important to search your heart to uncover any hidden evil and quickly repent and turn back. The words in Christianity, our church terms, evil, wickedness, sin. For example, evil is all the sin, the wickedness that's in your heart. And if this evil is shown outwardly, technically the evil is within your heart, but when that shows, portrays outwardly and it turns up through your actions, and that is usually considered a sin. We also have thoughts of the flesh, where we have fleshly thoughts and the wickedness in our thoughts. But when those come out as actions and they turn into sin and works of the flesh, because you're putting that into action. So there are different terms in our church, and it's important to know the slight differences. And this is because up until the third plague, the gnats, we could consider these the plagues up until the third plague as somewhat minor compared to the other ones, because it's still within our hearts, that the wickedness, the evil, is still not shown outwardly. But the next plague, which is the plague of flies, can be considered a more major type of plague, because it's being shown outwardly. So some people might say that they only had evil in their hearts and are undergoing larger trials, but in reality, the trials and tribulations that are more severe come because of the evil that's shown outwardly. It's because of the wickedness through your actions. And sometimes it's extremely important to be careful, because these incidences can turn into grumbling or complaints before God. And of course, thoughts of the flesh is also sin, but there's a difference between thoughts of the flesh, where you're just thinking it within yourself, as opposed to saying that out loud. If you were to say it out loud and just gossip about other people and spread lies or rumors, then that's a larger sin compared to just thinking about it in your head. And when you act in this way and show your sin outwardly, then the trials and tribulations that follow, the consequences can be larger accordingly. So with the plague of gnats, is usually linked with the sin within your heart. And you don't just experience the plague of gnats simply because you don't have any sin. It's because you've got the sin within you. And sometimes it's God's love that perhaps you don't show your sin outwardly, but through these plagues that you can find your sin that's hidden within you. There is a difference between the sin within you and the sin that is shown outwardly. Up to the plague of gnats, the suffering and problems could be resolved immediately when you repented and turned back, as the sin hadn't reached a serious level. And because the sin hadn't reached a serious level, the trials and tribulations aren't as serious. But from the next plague onwards, situations begin to spiral and that are increasingly difficult to reverse. But this isn't because God is unable to heal or resolve the problems, but because the hearts of the people have become that much more evil. From the first plague to the second and third, God gave opportunities for repentance and offered warnings. But the people's hearts were hardened and they didn't turn back. But from the first, second, and third plague, we're now on to the fourth plague, which is the plague of the flies. God's plague given to the Egyptians, the trials and tribulations, the disasters for us that were poured upon us, weren't given all at once. And the most serious plague wasn't given from the first. This is also God's love. God is giving us the opportunities to repent through the different levels of the plagues. And it's, you know, God's love giving us time so that we can repent. At times we have people that repent with tears, but then sin again and repent with tears and then sin again. And even if you repent, if this continues, God may not solve the problems straight away, because every time you repent but sin again and repent and sin again and you repeat this cycle, the wall of sin between God gets larger. When sin is repeated, the heart not only turns numb, but increasingly wicked. It's important to know about sin. Because, you know, some people say that as they sin, they don't realize that they're sinning. But at one point, they'll say that, oh, I didn't realize, you know, I was this evil. Well, it's because, you know, you get increasingly wicked as you sin. Sometimes you'll repent and you'll find yourself free. You'll feel free. Before repenting, you might have had, you know, you might have felt down and felt like the world was on top of your shoulders. But as you repent, as you look back on yourself, you feel free. It's the same with sin. The more you sin, the more wicked you get. And the level of sin differs. Your heart turns numb so that small sins don't seem like a sin anymore. It's like the saying, he who steals a needle will one day steal an ox. If you don't repent of the small wrongs and sins straight away, it'll grow into greater evils. It's because Satan gradually gains a stronger hold over you. There's a difference between Satan saying he's got control over you. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And we need to continue to confess that we are citizens of heaven. But even if we say and confess that we are citizens of heaven and that we are God's children, if we continue to sin and live in darkness, then Satan will try and pull us towards darkness and say that Satan is controlling us, that we are under Satan's control. And how does Satan have this power and this control over us? It's because we are sinning. So if you sin, Satan has the power to try and pull you towards darkness. Satan has the power to try and control you. And if this repeats once, twice, you know, 10 times, then Satan ends up having more power. And when your sin is outwardly shown through actions, then the devil has the power to control you and say that the devil is pulling you. And when it gets to this severe stage, there are people that are unable to control themselves. They don't know why they're acting so evilly. You'll find that there are people that sometimes say, I don't know why I'm suddenly grumbling or complaining so much. I never used to do this. You know, why am I acting in a certain way that I never used to? It's because you are allowing yourself to act or sin in small ways. And as that takes root, the root grows larger and it shoots forwards until the sin becomes more serious. And it's the same for everyone. If you don't get rid of the root of the sin, and if you don't continue to protect yourself from not sinning, then anyone can fall. You have to continuously cultivate your heart field. But if you complain, if you grumble, if you hate, if you, you know, get annoyed or feel neglected over something, then all of this ends up diminishing the cultivated land. It makes your heart field rusty again. So even if you know you shouldn't keep sinning, it becomes increasingly difficult to turn back if you willfully continue. And even though you know that you shouldn't, your body doesn't listen to you. And in the beginning, your conscious is saying, you know, you need to stop. You need to turn back to light. But as you continue to ignore your conscious, then that conscious will end up disappearing to the back of your head. And you need to realize that it's mankind, it's humankind that can change back to your old self whenever and wherever. That then trials and calamities will grow more severe. Sometimes you may become like an illegitimate child who no longer receives discipline. Before reaching this state, make sure not to delay and repent. And turn back without hesitation when the Holy Spirit awakens your heart with grace. Then you can be freed from hardship and suffering, experience restoration, and recover the faith and fullness of the Holy Spirit. The farther you drift, the harder it becomes to return. Pharaoh, who went through all 10 plagues, is a clear example. Looking at the 4th plague, the plague of flies, may you examine your life and faith to find what needs to be repented and cleansed. May you receive answers and blessings free from every trap and trace of Satan. The magicians of Egypt, who imitated the plagues of blood and frogs, were no longer able to do the same from the plague of gnats. They couldn't help but confess, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh hardened his heart and did not listen to Moses, and so the plague of flies came upon the land. Swarms of flies filled Pharaoh's palace, the house of his officials, and all the land of Egypt. from here is when an outbreak of infectious diseases began. Flies, commonly classified as pests, are insects that transmit infectious diseases such as dysentery, typhoid fever, cholera, tuberculosis, and leprosy. House flies, which are commonly seen, breed anywhere, in waste dumps and excrement, and feed on anything, including food and feces. Their digestion is rapid, and it's said they excrete within 5 minutes. And when the flies, when the flies land on our food, they can excrete whenever and wherever. And when the flies are under a microscope, we can see that there are certain diseases and bacteria on the wings of the flies or the fur of the flies. And in the countryside or years ago when we didn't have, you know, good facilities, you'll see that many flies land on dung, on feces, animal dung, or people's excrement. And the same flies would fly away and land on people or food or other areas. So the pathogens contained in their excrement contaminate food and utensils. So as it enters the human body, it can carry disease-causing germs on their proboscis and clawed feet. Flies are major carriers of infectious diseases. With the advancement of medicine, prevention and treatment are possible. Diseases spread by flies are not as serious as it was in the past. In ancient times, it could claim many lives if an epidemic broke out. Apart from diseases, flies that go from filthy places, you know, you automatically frown at these images at all the flies. Now imagine there were not just a few flies, but swarms, but beyond number, covering the land of Egypt. How much would the people have suffered? It would have affected not just Pharaoh, but all the people in the land of Egypt. You might think, you know, Pharaoh might be evil, so yes, he can take the plagues, but what about the people? What about the people? They didn't do anything. Just the sight of the flies would have been disgusting, but, you know, the entire land of Egypt was afflicted. This signifies that the rebellion of Pharaoh and the people of Egypt had spread throughout the whole nation. But God made a distinction between his people and the Egyptians. There were no swarms of flies in the land of Goshen. This was a sign that God set apart the people of Israel from the people of Egypt. So what does the plague of flies have to do with anything? Just as flies are born in filth and spread various diseases, when your heart becomes evil and impure, evil words come from the mouth and bring all kinds of sicknesses and troubles. Back in the day, we would have said there would have been a lot of violence. But, you know, these days, unless you are really full of anger or you drink too much alcohol, most of the time you can control yourself. Or there are security cameras all around where we can find who is at fault first in case, you know, there was a fight. But words from your mouth, the filth that comes from your mouth, is not something that can always be checked. It's easier to sin. And there are so many sins that come from your mouth. To guard your mouth is a big bonus in growing your spiritual faith. And you'll find that the mouth can be the most filthiest place. These disasters come upon yourself and can affect your children, spouse, or workplace, the evil words that come from the mouth. And why is it that this happens? The Bible tells us about our mouth. Matthew 15, verse 11. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. What does what comes out of the mouth really mean? The filth, the dirtiness, the impurity, the evil that comes from the mouth is also written in the Bible. So what does what comes out of the mouth really mean? Matthew 15, verse 18 to 19. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. For example, if you've got jealousy and envy in your heart, then you end up gossiping and slandering other people. If you've got, you know, anger in your heart, then you'll end up proceeding to say your complaints and your grumblings to people next to you or to people around you. You know, for what's in your heart is also evil, but the fact that you are saying that out loud and putting that into action is a sin. So it's important to check what words are coming out of your mouth. Evil that dwells within your heart is expressed through the mouth. From a good heart comes good words, but if the heart is impure, impure words come forth. If there's untruth, deceit, hatred, or anger within, then deceitful and false words, words and actions filled with hatred and wrath will come out. Whispering, judging, condemning, criticizing, or cursing all come from an evil and impure heart. When you heard the sermons on Job, did Job, you know, was Job violent toward his friends? Was Job, you know, did Job kill or murder any of his friends? No, it was all from his mouth. It was the words that came from his mouth. But in some cases, you've got people that are quite heavy with their words, with their mouth. Some people aren't. They're very light with their mouths, and they don't have any secrets. They don't hold any secrets. But there are people who hold secrets very well. They don't, you know, show their emotions through their words. They barely share their personal feelings. And though this is also good, it's also extremely difficult for these people because they're unable to actually look within themselves and find these emotions, these sinful emotions, because they're not admitting it. And just because you're not saying it out loud doesn't mean you're not evil. It doesn't mean you don't have the sin. It's the sin that's in your heart. And there are always pros and cons to all personalities. You know, the pros of, you know, people who talk a lot is that you can find your sins a little bit more easily. But a con would be, you know, it's hard for you to control yourself. You know, pros to not speaking a lot is that you don't speak a lot. But a con would be that it's harder for you to look back on yourself. So remember this, sickness often begins through the evil that comes out of your mouth. Temper in your heart is revealed through irritated or angry words from the mouth, and evil words that come from an evil heart become snares, and through it sickness accumulates. If you don't repent or turn back even after the plague of flies, then the next plague, the plague of pestilence, representing serious internal illness, will come. If you continue to commit evil beyond that, it will lead to boils, which symbolizes outward diseases. Remember this, sickness often begins through the evil that comes out of your mouth. When hatred toward a brother, judgment against a servant of the Lord, and other forms of evil accumulate in your heart, the illness grows and eventually becomes visible. And just because you, you know, act or say it once doesn't mean it's going to visibly turn out straight away, but it will pile up. It will continue to pile until it becomes, until the illness grows and becomes visible. But the problem is that after all this time and the illness becomes visible and you try and repent, you can't remember what you've said in the past because there were so many and it was so long ago. You need to know what you've done in order to repent. And because you don't, it's not like you're recording everything that you say 24/7. And it's hard to receive healing. You may receive forgiveness, but you may not receive healing works. If you or your child catch a cold or experience a mild sickness, it's a link to the plague of gnats. When you repent and receive the prayer for the sick during worship, these illnesses can be healed immediately. If healing doesn't occur, it's because repentance isn't complete, up to the stage of the plague of gnats. Healing comes easily, but from the plague of flies onward, healing doesn't happen straight away, even with repentance. Because the wages of sin follow. 1 John 3:15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. To hate a brother is a grave sin. It shows there's no life and that you cannot walk the path of eternal life. How can this sin be taken lightly? You know, this sin, you hating your brother, comes out as complaints, as grumbling, as slander. But if you consider this just a small issue, you know, it's completely the opposite. The Bible says that hate is murder. And, you know, these are one of the many reasons why you end up receiving illnesses or sicknesses. For example, King David. King David once committed the sin of murder. He was a ruler who deeply loved God and was greatly loved by God. When David committed the sin of murder, God rebuked him through a prophet. David repented immediately when a prophet rebuked him, despite being a mighty king who commanded surrounding nations. So he received forgiveness for his sin. But the consequence of that sin was immense. As David's faith was great and his love for God was deep, the discipline he received was also great. When you commit sin but repent and turn back, forgiveness is granted, and salvation and eternal life can still be attained. You can do a fasting of repentance. You can repent through words, through actions, through prayer. Some people only repent and don't turn back, but you know, most of the time if you repent and turn back, forgiveness is granted. And this was the sin of David, doing the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and going to the point of murdering Uriah. But when David was rebuked by a prophet, he completely repented and turned back, and David stopped sinning in terms of this situation and didn't, you know, commit the sin of adultery again. However, David was warned that he would receive the consequence of that sin. And we know that the consequence of that sin was great. And from the plague of flies onwards, this is very similar to David's consequences. It's the plague of flies signifies the sin piling up and not turning back. And of course, it's great if you were able to repent and turn back before it became a larger sin. However, if you end up only repenting and turning back once the sin becomes, well, once the plague becomes more serious, then unfortunately the consequences of that sin, despite your repentance, is still going to be great. So as this plague gets more serious, in order for it to be forgiven, you must completely repent from the heart and turn back. And sometimes you'll see that, you know, there are Christians that continue to sin and that piles up and it ends up becoming a larger sin when you end up sinning. But when you end up repenting of that sin, the more it's piled up, the more consequences you receive. For example, you judge and condemn about a person and you spread that condemnation to other people about one person. Did you really, when you repented and turned back, did you really go to every single person you spread the gossip to and said that, hey, you know, when I judged and condemned, you know, this certain person, it was actually the wrong information? And even if you did go to each and every person you spoke to be honest, each and every person you spoke to would have maybe told other people as well. Which is, and if you don't go to every single person and repent of your wrongdoing, then how can it be considered true repentance? But if you also repent completely and turn back, this involves, you know, offering an offering of repentance to Father God. It's repenting from your heart. It's repenting with prayer and tears. But some people don't even do that. So how can you receive true forgiveness and salvation if you don't repent from the heart? You may think that you've repented and turned back and that you may, that you won't sin again. But if you don't truly repent from the heart, if you don't truly realize the wrongness of your sin, then the same sin can happen again. If your life is at peace for a few years, you can forget all about the trials and tribulations that you received when you did sin and end up sinning again. How are you going to fix all your wrongdoings if you don't go to every single person that you have wronged? And there are, you know, incidences where you are unable to go to every single person and repent of your wrongdoing, but you need to try your best to right your wrong. And in order to do that, you need to ask Father God for your memories of the things that you've done in the past so that you don't do the same sins again. If you were a person who continued to complain and grumble, then you need to ask God for all the complaints and grumbling that you've said and done in the past. If you don't remember, repent of it and then continue to plant goodness and love and only say good words and words of goodness and continuously overcome any of that complaint and grumbling with goodness. Put in the effort. You may not be able to do anything about what's happened in the past, but at least you can start from now. You can start from your repentance. You can start planting goodness and follow the truth. And that way you can take the consequences that comes with your sins. And all the accumulated sins must be thoroughly confessed and repented of with true contrition. When repentance is genuine, healing happens through the process of refinement. During this time, you need to give thanks and not offer shallow or half-hearted repentance. All the swear words perhaps that you've said, especially during the church trials, and receive repentance and receive blessings. These words manifest as sickness in the body and or might bring suffering upon your children's spouse or cause trouble in the workplace. You know, this is not stopping the plagues that are in your life. In order to stop the plagues from happening in your life, you need to completely repent and stop your sins. So when you experience plagues, the wisest thing you can do is to stop your sin. And if you were to meet plagues, then you need to show wisdom by stopping sinning, but also not sinning again. The Bible says multiple times the importance of words and mouth. Proverbs 8, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Yet often you're unaware of the evil contained in the words you've spoken. There are times when God sees words as a great sin, but you're unable to see it. For example, this example is shown through Aaron and Miriam, who spoke against Moses. They criticized him for marrying a Cushite woman, saying, Numbers 12, verse 2, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? They're saying that, you know, Aaron and Miriam, they're saying that they're also prophets too, that they have the same respect and position as Moses. And when Moses, Aaron, and Miriam were all speaking together, God said in Numbers 12, verse 8 to 10, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. Like the scripture, Miriam was struck with leprosy. At the time, Aaron repented and pleaded with Moses to intercede for them through Moses' prayer. If you think about it, Aaron should have repented to God, but Aaron repented and pleaded with Moses first because he sinned against Moses. Moses was the victim, and through Moses' intercessory prayer, Miriam was healed. And even then, Miriam was not healed straight away, and this shows how serious the judgment and con- the sin of judging and condemning is. It's really important for church members to not judge and condemn and gossip about pastors, even if the pastors might not be as great. You know, some of you end up experiencing trials and tribulations, and you don't realize why you've experienced trials and tribulations. The words that you've spoken, perhaps the judgment, the condemnation against, you know, servants of the Lord, against fellow members. You know, these words, these actions, they don't disappear simply because, you know, there were no security cameras nearby. It's all recorded, which is why Satan has the power to try and snare you and trap you. At the time, how often do you speak without realizing that your words are wrong and become a great wall of sin, judging, condemning, and murmuring and grumbling, which grieves the heart of God? The story of Michal, the daughter of Saul and the wife of David, shows the frightening results of words when David brought the Ark of God into the city of David in 2 Samuel 6. You'll see that he was filled with so much joy that he danced with all his might. And back in the day, you know, the clothes were tightened with ropes or string. You know, they didn't have zips back in the day or silver buttons. So David was so joyful that he danced with all his strength that his garments had slipped. And when Michal saw this, she despised him in her heart and spoke words of contempt. 2 Samuel 6:20, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today." When Michal met David, she didn't give him praise. She ended up cutting him down and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants, his maids, as one of the foolish ones, shamelessly uncovers himself." How did David reply to this insult? 2 Samuel 6 verses 21 to 22. "So David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished.'" David is saying that he will be humble before the Lord. And Michal, who had spoken evil words, had no child to the day of her death. These words are not simply a momentary slip of the tongue spoken unconsciously. It comes from a heart filled with evil, a heart long accustomed to speaking various untruthful words. Even on this joyful day, Michal spoke words without hesitation and brought great curses. May you examine the kind of words you speak in your daily life. Reflect whether your mouth is a mouth that slanders or a mouth that speaks love and goodness, a mouth of complaint and dissatisfaction, or a mouth that confesses faith. Proverbs 17 verse 9. "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." Have you truly covered the faults of your brothers and sisters? If your heart feels revealed when you expose others' shortcomings or spread gossip, how evil is that? because of these evils, trials and afflictions come upon your business, workplace and family. Proverbs 11 verse 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. People who slander and gossip are like swarms of flies. And it's the same expression that Pastor Emeritus said as well. People who slander and gossip are like swarms of flies, spreading sin and disease. Even within the kingdom of God and the church, when you speak words of unbelief and untruth, the enemy, devil, and Satan works through it, which causes, you know, peace, tests, and hardships to be broken. This also happened to the Israelites who had peacefully left Egypt after the 10 plagues. All the complaints that the Israelites said when they were in the Exodus. It's important for you to remember that the angels are recording all the words that you say, saying with Satan. It's important for us to not act or say words that will be a snare to Satan. Satan tries to find every opportunity to make us fall. May you always guard your mouth that you don't say words of complaint or of curses, grumbling, complaints, judgment, condemnation that you may have said until now. Of curses, grumbling, complaints, judgment, condemnation that you may have said until now. You know, all the hatred, the evil words, of course, are, you know, one of the main things that you need to look back and repent so that you can receive blessings and answers.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revived. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.